I hope you're doing well on this Easter Sunday, April 12th, 2020. We are once again here in my home studio in my greenhouse. Got some fish and flowers here with me to mark the occasion. And I'm glad to be in your home virtually through this this recording, and hope that you're doing well, you, and if your family is with you, that they're doing well also. Thank you for your prayers for our neighbors, for the church, for the state, the country, the world, as we're going through this time of this pandemic and social distancing. What a strange and awkward time for us, but we are making it through, and there is a light at the end of this tunnel, and God is watching over us as we go through it. A couple of things just as we get started. First of all, thank you to those of you who have given me feedback on these lessons to help me with the audio quality, just trying to keep it good, and the video quality, and just letting me know how these sermons are impacting you on your end. It is a strange thing to not be together face-to-face. I don't get direct feedback like usual. Oops, and I just bumped the camera here. To hear from you is very helpful to me. So if you do have any comments, any thoughts on the lesson, any suggestions, please let me know. If you have any suggestions for what the church can do to help one another during this this time until we're able to come back together, please let me or our deacons or our elders know, because we want to do everything we can to serve one another well. And this is a new thing for all of us. We are all learning how to go about our lives at this time in a whole new way. Until the governor is able to lift the social distancing orders and we're able to get back together. And we're looking forward to that time. You know, I was thinking earlier today that the hardest thing for me probably as far as presenting these sermons online is normally when we're together, we sing and we praise God together in song for a while. And then we pray to the Lord and come before Him together in that way, and we share the Lord's Supper together. And we can't do any of that together. We can do all of it, but we can't do it together. And that's probably the toughest thing for me, is all of that just really strengthens me and prepares me spiritually to share the lesson with you on Sundays. And I just don't get that with you together in person. So I'm looking forward to that, when we're able to get back together. And may God speed that day. Well, this being Easter Sunday, I wanted to wish you a happy Easter. And then I realized I just have some hesitation about saying it that way. Because I do wish you a happy Easter, but so much is out of place this Easter. We have no traditional sunrise devotional like we have each year for those who want to get up early and get out in the early morning and share God's word together and remember the story of the resurrection of Jesus together. Our elders and our deacons traditionally make us breakfast before Bible classes on Easter Sunday. We don't have that. All of our traditions are upended this year by this virus that's going around that we're having to be so careful about. There's no traditional Easter egg hunt for the kids. That's always a highlight of my year, getting to watch the kids hunt for the eggs. No joyful singing by the whole congregation all gathered together as we celebrate the anniversary of the resurrection of Jesus our Lord. This is a time of difficulty for most of the world and for us too. It's not exactly a time of our usual joy at Easter. We're isolated from each other. We can't even worship together. And I worry about you all. I worry about your health, and I'm grateful that we have had very good health in the congregation so far, and I pray that it'll continue. I worry about your income. Some of you are out of a job right now. I worry about your faith, because I can't see you face to face. I can't see that you're doing well. And so I pray, and I'm concerned for you. And I know that our elders are concerned for you as well, and you are in their prayers all the time. And I know that you are concerned for one another, and you show that by calls and just keeping in touch with others and watching out for those who are maybe on the on the fringes of our church family, and you care for them and love them, and you pray for them, and I appreciate that. You know, there are moments when this time of social distancing feels like a defeat. Like our enemy, the devil, has succeeded in dealing us a painful blow here and across the country and in many parts of the world, keeping us from meeting together, keeping us from encouraging each other, teaching each other, training each other, helping each other, blessing each other, keeping us from being together on this special day. But we are followers of Jesus. And followers of Jesus are resilient. Because whenever followers of Jesus begin to feel defeated, weary, hopeless, we always go back to the same place. Every time. There's this one place that we go. We go to the cross of Jesus. And from the cross, we go to his tomb. And from his tomb, we go to the glorious moment of his resurrection. That's where we always go. Some people turn to psychology when they need help, to counseling, and that can be very good. It can be very useful. And some escape into movies or novels or social media when they're stressed just to find some relief from the burdens of social isolation and fear. But whenever we're stressed as the people of God, whenever we're afraid, we go back to that one weekend almost 2,000 years ago, and we remember what happened there. Because the story of Jesus' suffering is our story, too. The story of his resurrection is our story, too. If we follow Jesus, his story shapes us. And it defines us, and it helps us to know where we go from here. We are the people who belong to Jesus. His identity is our identity. His story is our story. And the story of Jesus is the story of the cross, the tomb, and the resurrection. As we share in this Easter Sunday, celebrating privately and yet together, the anniversary of the resurrection of our Lord, come and stand with me at the cross of Jesus, and let's share together in his story again. Three parts to this story in this lesson today: the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. Part one. The crucifixion. From Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. At the cross, everything Jesus had was ripped away. Everything. His clothes were literally taken away from him, and the soldiers cast lots to see who would get them. Jesus' dignity was ripped away from him. His health was ripped away from him. His freedom, his social network, his hope were ripped away from him. His life was ripped away from him. All of it was taken away. And he was willing to lose everything for us, to pay for our sins with his body and blood, to bring us to God. I was listening to a podcast this week. I was kind of listening, half listening. And then all of a sudden my preacher antenna went up and said to me, "Pay attention, there's something important here." And so I listened more closely, and a woman was being interviewed, a woman from a church somewhere in the South, and she said, "What other time on the planet has everything else that we worship been taken away at the same time? I mean, I miss baseball, I miss all that." I like that she mentioned baseball. "But on a deeper level," she said, "I worship my control, and I worship my social life. And I don't think I would have had language for that a month ago. And I can feel the ripping of that from me." And I thought, even non-faith people, she means people who aren't Christians or people who have no faith in God. She said, even non-faith people can tell that they've lost their life now. And that really caught my ear because I can relate to what she was saying there. And it's tearing away of so much that we enjoy and love and even need, and things that we sometimes worship. We are a bit like Jesus. Everything that wasn't God was ripped away from him. All he was left with on the cross was God. And so a question. If everything but God is ripped away from us, has our enemy, the devil, at that moment won? Or has he lost? If everything but God is ripped away from us, is that for us a defeat or a victory? The devil and those who did evil to Jesus intended for the cross to destroy him, but it didn't. Look at what Jesus did. On the cross, Jesus endured. He never abandoned his faith in God. Right up to the very end, he held to his faith in God. He endured all his suffering, and it never broke him. On the cross, Jesus forgave. In verse 34, he asks God to forgive those who crucified him. He was still seeking their forgiveness. Even on the cross and all of his suffering, Jesus forgave. Jesus redeemed. In verse 43, he promised God's favor to this criminal being crucified with him, a man who deserved what he was getting, but who had the faith to ask Jesus to remember him when Jesus came into his kingdom, which is incredible. This man could see in Jesus being crucified on a cross, a man of God who did not deserve what he was getting and whom God would still glorify and vindicate. This man had amazing faith at that critical moment, and Jesus redeemed him. And on the cross, Jesus entrusted himself to God. In verse 46, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' last words before his death are words of trust in God. The devil was not able to overcome and destroy Jesus on the cross. And our enemy, the devil, as he could not overcome Jesus with suffering, neither will he be able to overcome us through our suffering, because we who follow Jesus have God. Whatever happens, we will endure like Jesus endured. God will strengthen us. Whatever happens, we will forgive those who do evil against us, just as Jesus forgave those who did evil against him. God will help us. Whatever happens, we will seek to redeem people for God, just as Jesus redeemed people for God right up to the very end. God will help us with this. Whatever happens, we will entrust ourselves to God, just as Jesus our Lord entrusted himself to God. While the pandemic persists, we will endure. When it's done, we will endure. And when someday students write about this pandemic in reports for history class, thinking that this was such a long time ago that this happened, we will still endure because we put our trust in God, and by his grace, we will have the strength to continue to endure. Whatever happens, we will entrust ourselves to God like Jesus did. Into his hands, we daily commit our spirits. Part two, the burial. Luke 23, verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. The devil and those who did evil to Jesus must have thought that when Jesus was buried, he was gone. It was done. But he wasn't gone. He was just resting. He was just resting. Did you ever wonder why God didn't raise Jesus from the dead the same day? He could have raised him that day. Jesus died on a Friday. God could have raised him that day. He could have raised him on Saturday. He could have raised him Saturday night, but Instead, he waited 2 nights until Sunday morning, the first day of the week, and then God raised him from the dead. Jesus rested on the Sabbath. Verse 54 says that he was buried on Preparation Day. Preparation Day was Friday. They called it Preparation Day because it was the day when the Jews would prepare everything they would need on Saturday so they could rest on the Sabbath. So they prepared everything Preparation Day. The Sabbath began at sundown Friday evening. That was when their Sabbath began at sunset. And then the Sabbath ended at sunset on Saturday evening. And that's when the first day of the week began for them. There's what we would call Sunday. Jesus was buried on Preparation Day, Friday, the day before the Sabbath. Verse 56 says, the women who prepared spices and perfumes for anointing Jesus' body rested on the Sabbath in obedience to God's command. So they quickly buried Jesus. This man Joseph of Arimathea buried Jesus. And the women got spices and perfumes ready before the Sabbath. And then they rested. Chapter 24, verse 1, will tell us that it wasn't until the morning after the Sabbath, so Sunday morning, that the women went to the tomb to finish anointing Jesus' body for burial. God could have raised Jesus from the dead immediately, that same day or the next day. But instead, he waited 2 nights and raised Jesus on the third day. And so Jesus rested, his body rested on the Sabbath. Jesus had worked so hard, endured, suffered so much. Now he enjoyed a bit of well-earned rest. Did you notice where Jesus enjoyed his rest? I really caught that for the first time just this week. Verse 43, I'd read this line many times, but I hadn't connected it with his rest before. Verse 43, he told the criminal, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus rested in paradise. Now, it's often thought that paradise is the waiting place of the righteous dead, where their spirits wait until Jesus comes again. And I think that's technically true. But just to be a little more clear about what paradise is, in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 to 4, Paul calls paradise the third heaven, which in Jewish terminology was how they thought of the realm where God dwells. So the first heaven is where the birds fly, the sky. The second heaven is the higher sky where the sun, moon, and stars are and the planets are. And then the third heaven is beyond that where God dwells. And Paul calls that place paradise in 2 Corinthians 12. And so I lean toward the theory that paradise is what we usually call heaven. After his suffering, Jesus rested in paradise. And his rest is a foreshadowing of our rest. We have a great promise mentioned in Revelation 14, verse 13, where the writer says, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. When God's people pass from this life, according to this promise from the Holy Spirit, we will receive rest from our labor. Rest. Our deeds will follow us. Which means that what we do in this life matters. Even though our lives are temporary and so brief, Jesus' life was very short by our standards today. He didn't live past his mid-30s, maybe the age 33-ish. We're not sure exactly, but somewhere in there. And yet his life mattered. What he did mattered. And when our lives are done, brief as they are, God will bless his faithful people with rest because their deeds will follow them. He will reward them for what they have done, just as he gave Jesus rest. So serve God faithfully, my friends, and do not grow weary. God gives us rest along the way when we need it. And if we pass from this life before Jesus returns, we have an excellent rest to look forward to. For this Sabbath of social distancing, rest. It may feel sometimes like our enemy, the devil, has won, keeping the church apart, but only physically, not in spirit, causing so many to get sick, causing many to die. But for God's people, this is not a defeat. It's a war. And it's a war that's been going on for a long, long time. And that war will not be over until Jesus comes again. So, like a good soldier in God's kingdom, fight the battles that he gives us to fight. And when God gives you time to rest, rest. Jesus rested, and so can we. God rested on the seventh day after his work of creating was done. Jesus rested on the seventh day too, when his work was done. His body laid in the tomb, his spirit in paradise. We too can rest. Our enemy will not overcome us, because God is with us, and our time of quiet and rest is not a defeat. It is not the end. There is more to come, just as there was more to come for Jesus. And so now part three, the resurrection. Luke 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. This was the first news that Jesus had risen from the dead. That evening, Jesus' followers would see him face to face, hear him speak, touch him, see him eat food, learn from him like they used to do. And in a few weeks, they would see him ascend into heaven, where he continues to live today, leading his church and ruling over God's kingdom. The devil and those who did evil to Jesus could do nothing about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. They had no power to block it or stop it or thwart it. There was nothing they could do. And the resurrection of Jesus proved two things. First, that Jesus really is the Son of God, as he claimed. He said that he was. God raising him from the dead proved it. Second, all his promises about our resurrection and about eternal life are true. If they had been false, these things that Jesus had taught, God would not have raised him from the dead. He would not have been pleasing to God. But God confirmed them by raising Jesus from the dead. So just as after all Jesus' work and after his rest, God raised him to eternal life. So also, after all of our work and after our rest, God will give us eternal life. So then, after our rest comes victory. After our rest comes victory. This is our promise from God, foretold by Jesus, confirmed by his apostles, guaranteed by his resurrection. One day all the dead will rise, the good and the evil, some for judgment, some for eternal life. Those who belong to the Lord will rise up to meet him in the air when he comes. And all those who follow Jesus and are still living when he comes will rise up to join him. Eternal life will begin that day. In just the twinkling of an eye, we will receive new bodies that will never die. The mortal will be exchanged for the immortal. And in the presence of Jesus our Lord himself, raised from the dead, we will be glorified, made new. God will create new heavens and a new earth, a place of perfect righteousness, a place where God and human beings will dwell together forever, and we will see our Lord face to face. There will be no more pandemics. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more sorrow. Nothing to be afraid of. There will be no more death. There will be no more weeping, no more pain. For the old order of things will have been taken away. Our enemy, the devil, will be gone forever. All will be made new. Even our work there, we will have work there, continuing in our service to God as we live in him and enjoy him. But our work there, even it, will be restful. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. It will be like the Garden of Eden again, only better, because we'll have one another, not just two human beings, but many. And we'll be with Jesus our Lord and with our God forever and ever. This is our hope. And nothing can take it away. Not a pandemic. Not any economic woes, no matter how bad things get. Not any limitations on our freedom. Not all our weariness from hard work. Not our frustration from being alone. Not any bad news in the news or any trouble in the nation or any burden in our own hearts. Nothing can take away our hope in Jesus. We bear all these things with great hope, because we are the people who follow Jesus. In his endurance on the agonizing cross, in his rest in the tomb, in his life glorified forevermore. His story is our story. As God was with him, so God is also with us and will continue to be with us. If you're working extra hard during this pandemic, if your workload has just been heavy, whatever it is that's bringing that about, don't let it wear you down too much. In due time, God will give us rest. And when Jesus comes again, God will give us victory. If you're in the opposite situation, feeling worn down by all this social distancing with all its restrictions, this time of resting, this ongoing Sabbath of a sort, too much rest for you maybe, remember that Jesus rested too. On the surface, his rest looked like a defeat. It looked like the enemy had won. But for Jesus, It was the accomplishment of his work and the briefest pause before his victory. Through Jesus, we will share in that victory if we do not grow weary, if we will hold on and do the work that God has given us to do. Is this a happy Easter? God is with us. Jesus rested and then rose from the dead and lives forever and ever. Of course, it is a happy Easter. Happy Easter, everyone. May God be with you. Let's pray. Our Father, as we celebrate this Easter together in a strange and unusual way, and yet together in spirit, one body coming before you, Lord, through our prayers and through our worship today. We praise you, O God, and we honor you for the things that you've done for us, and we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his resurrection and the unshakable hope that it gives us. Lord, bless us. Whether this time for each of us individually is a time of hard work or a time of rest, bless us and guide us through it until things get back to something more like normal. Lord, you are our God every day, whatever happens, just as you were Jesus' God on the days when he was free to travel and to teach and on the day when he hung on the cross. He entrusted himself to you, and you vindicated him, and we entrust ourselves to you. And we trust, Lord, that in due time you will give us victory. We give you thanks, dear God. We pray for one another that you would keep our faith strong, that you would watch over us and care for us. And we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.